You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf, Season 3, Episode 11, Alpha Pact. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Joining me across the table, AfterBuzz TV host Sarah Stretton.
Hello.
And you may recognize our special guest this evening from movies such as The Blind Side, Medea's Witness Protection, Highland Fling, TV shows such as Army Wives, Meet the Browns, and most recently playing Victoria Argent on MTV's Teen Wolf. Please welcome Edie Mays.
Yes, thank you. No, please, thank you. It's a lot of fun to be here. It's not a lot of fun to wear these headphones.
It messes up my great haircut.
It looks amazing, and I was almost late for the show because I was watching the video where you shaved your head last year.
I did. It was actually longer ago than...
You're so close to me. I like that you're close to me. It makes the shot look better.
But it's here.
I know. And it's like, you're fuzzy. Last time when I watched you guys, you were sitting next to each other and not next to me.
I heard you were coming and I was just like,
she grabbed the seat.
I would have had a mint if I'd have known that you were going to be on the side of
they
the...
They can't smell your breath. That's
fine.
She
can. It's really bad. Yeah, I shaved my head. And in fact, I think that's a large part of why I booked Teen Wolf. Because I was, I went to work on Meet the Browns and I was still wearing this awful wig that was like dog hair or something. And all due respect to the dog I met outside. But he, I was wearing this wig, but I wouldn't wear it as I went into Meet the Browns. And, I was walking in my jeans and my heels and my mostly shaved head. It wasn't grown out this far, but it was red. And I was carrying my wig and the local casting director, not the Los Angeles casting director, said, "How come you haven't auditioned for Teen Wolf?" And I said, "I don't know. Why haven't I auditioned for Teen Wolf?" And he said, "What are you doing Thursday?" I said, "Auditioning for Teen Wolf." Yeah, and so I went, and all these people that had all these great stories, I hadn't even been submitted for the thing. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, there was this young kid sitting on the sofa, and here was the casting director, this fabulous guy, George Pierre. And then, so I'm reading with him, and there's just this kid in a notepad. And I thought, well, never mind, I'll just leave them. Because I was sure I hadn't booked it. And it turns out the young kid sitting on the sofa was Jeff Davis. But he just looks so young.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
And you're seeing him next week, right?
He's coming on the show next week.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. Let him sit in this chair.
I've learned a lesson. I need to shave my head so that I can be on TV.
It was truly one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, I was just thinking, while I was watching this video of you, I was like, was there any point where you were like, oh no, let's fix this?
No, absolutely not.
No.
And in fact, when I knew that I was excited about it and this was going to be a great opportunity, I was 100% committed and the money helped, but that they offered me. But it was just for this local commercial for a local...
cancer, right?
Right, a cancer. Well, a medical center, so it was supposed to be a cancer survivor. I'm so self-conscious now.
Oh,
I'm going to get an Altoid in
totally
just a minute.
Fine. I got some.
Are you sure? Okay, good. Look, she's going to get one. Thank you.
Is this an actual hint that I need one? Is this what you're saying to
me? No, I would never say that at all.
Anyway.
Here
you guys go.
Thank you.
Sponsored. Oh, it didn't make it.
It's like bad air hockey. Oh, yes. Thank you.
We made it.
Well done. These are my favorites, too.
Oh, great. Okay, it all happened.
You're having one that I
have. But just watching the video,
I
just couldn't believe it that you were doing this because, you know, as a female, we all take, you know, so much time doing our hair. But I was like, how freeing that must have felt. And like you said, you booked Teen Wolf because of the haircuts. So it's kind of like, you know, great things come from, you know, going outside of ourselves and doing things we wouldn't normally. What was like the best thing that you learned from that experience?
I learned who I was, truly. And I never would have thought that it would have been associated with my hair. But, and it was kind of a distinctive haircut at the time. If you remember from The Blind Side, you know, I was that
awful woman. Well, and she said, and Sandra Bullock says that, as, you know, I'm sitting across from her like I'm sitting across from you, actually. And she says, you know, in that scene, the famous ladies that lunch, I'm a, you know, horrible racist in the scene. And in that, I had that brown, like, reverse bob. And at the time, not many people had it. And then, you know, within a year, everybody's got, like, their little three-year-olds and their ladies driving minivans have it. I'm like, oh, it's got to go. So I knew something was going to happen, and I didn't know how I wanted, if I was going to grow it out or what. But, yeah, so when they when this opportunity came up, the production staff wanted to, you know, they were very delicate, and it's going to be okay, and are you sure?
And they're like,
and I said, no.
I saw you did it yourself.
Yeah, no way was I going to let somebody else do it. What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do it. So it's on YouTube. Yeah, so is that where you're
watching
it?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, and you know what? Teen Wolf is all about accepting yourself and accept, you know, Scott's accepting that he's the true alpha and Lydia accepting her powers. So I just thought that was great, like, watching you do that. And I hope at some point in my life I have the guts to shave my head.
Look, you see that she gave me goosebumps? No kidding. Well, you have the facial structure to do it, too. And it's so interesting to me that now, are you saying that truly? I want to know. No, watch me get into the interview. You're like, I'm in the interview. I'm in the interview. Are you saying that because you've done research on Teen Wolf? And that, or is that what you feel in your gut about Teen Wolf, about it being a finding out who you are experience kind of thing?
No, yeah. I feel like that's what it's about. And, I mean, just shaving your head, I thought that it worked perfectly
it
with
is.
The show.
There is a parallel in that, and I thank you for making that observation. I'm going to take it one step further. I think that what I believe and what I've gotten out of it, and the reason I'm now a Teen Wolfie, you know, probably the oldest living Teen Wolfie, is that Teen Wolf and through Jeff and through every person that contributes to this show, Teen Wolf changes, reverses, reshapes, or kind of like Teen Wolf itself is a reimagination of the movie. Teen Wolf reimagines for us what we've been taught, I think a lot of times ill-taught, that society has taught us of what things are supposed to be like. And now we have this all new idea. Oh, wait, no, I'm okay that I have these thoughts. I'm okay that I have these feelings. I'm okay that I'm this color, this gender, that I'm this way, whatever it is. And all that comes out in the show. And I think that's why it's the success that it is, because so many people can identify with
it. Well, we've talked about that on this show, just being the fact that with the audience, that most of the audience is like adolescents and teens, it's good that they make everything just seem normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, a lot of the things aren't even drawn attention to, like whether it's race or sexuality or whatnot. It's just all normal.
Because
non-issues.
It is.
Exactly.
And what our preconceived notions are what was wrong all this time. And that Teen Wolf, the treatment of that is certainly a lot more commonplace. So good. I'm glad that you guys felt that too, because I certainly think that's what it's about.
Oh, definitely.
This was the perfect episode to bring you in on, because we had so many parents showing up.
Uh-huh.
And we had Peter's bad plan, the Arjun's bad plan, and then Dee's bad plan.
Hold it a second. Let's review the word bad plan here. It's really interesting because, again, I think our best intentions, you know, well, I'm going to sacrifice for my child, or I'm going to do this. Whatever it is, we've made these choices in our lives, and they don't always go the way we want them to. And so now what do? Do we see it as a failure, or do we move on from that? And that's also part of the hope of this show.
What I was hoping that we would see, which we did, is since you were sacrificing your character for, you know, your daughter and your family's betterness, I was wondering if Chris Argent would do that as well. And we got to see that this episode, that, you know, he was in your same boat, because I was wondering if situations were reversed, would he, you know,
would he have done it?
What if he sacrificed himself?
If he'd gotten bit.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I always refer to the side like it's still there. Look, see that scar? Yes, exactly. But yeah, would he have done the same thing had he been bit? And that's really interesting. And that's one of the questions that people tweeted about today. And you and I exchanged a lot of that. It was a lot of fun. It's one of the best things I think about this show is the incredible social media response to it and how that feeds it. But that one of the things people are so interested in is, well, so what would it be like if it had been Chris, and why did you make these decisions? And you know, well, as an actor, I have to give history to, you know, when I read in the script that it was there on Allison's bed, and I thought, are you kidding me? No. Okay, hold on a minute. Why? Why would I? And so I had to come, I Victoria, had to come up with the reason why I would do something like that in order to make it I hope work.
Oh, it did. And when I was watching it on screen, I was just like, please tell me this, like, someone's going to stop her. Please tell me this is not going to happen. Right. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. So, I mean, you made it look
great, right?
As real as it could be. And I like that, you know, we're still getting to see you this season. And I feel like there's a lot of issues left behind from you not being there, obviously, for Allison. And can you kind of talk about that? Because when we see you coming back, you're kind of there for her, but you're yelling at her. So I'm confused.
Do you see Kristen stepping around the issue here just a little bit, folks? Okay, yeah. Yeah,
I see. Say this
so
nicely.
So are you back or not? Yeah, I love that's one of the questions I think I probably get most, both in person, on the airplane, you know, at Starbucks, in the restroom, that one time with that weird woman. Yes, yes. I thought you were dead. And it's like, wow, no. First of all, even if I see, I have to be really wise. What Jeff Davis said on Tumblr was that yes, we will continue to see more Victoria Argent coming up. Was the answer when one of the fans said, "Will we see more Victoria Argent?" And then, and I think one of the other things that I thought was really, thanks, Jeff, kind of thing was when he said, "I think he didn't say he wrote in Tumblr." His answer was. We often sit around in the writer's room and wonder, why do we kill her off again? You know, uh-huh. So it's nice. It's nice.
You're like,
I'm really glad, though, that they're bringing you back because Allison is obviously suffering. And here, you know, she definitely feels betrayal from her father, from him, you know, taking her on this ride that they were working together and then, you know, cuffing her and leaving her behind.
But that came out of a good spot in his heart, right?
I understand, but I'm not sure she does. And I feel like, you know, now she feels like she's been kind of left behind the same way with both her parents. And what is that when you come back? We saw you, especially when she was sewing Scott back up. You're kind of yelling at her. You were helping her, but yelling at her.
Wait a second. Okay, time out. It wasn't really yelling. And it's funny because there was this in season one, at the end of season one, and I'm packing her up and I'm in the closet. And I'm, you know, and she says, my boyfriend just turned into a werewolf. You know, and it's sort of this pity party thing. And then, and I have three children, and a boy, and a girl. And one of them's just now, he's 14, and then an 11-year-old, 9-year-old. And one of the things that I require them to say is, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or I don't know, ma'am. And sometimes that's all you got to say is what I say. But so when we were shooting that scene and they had edited the original script that I got and taken a lot of the warm, fuzzy stuff out and then, you know, from the final product and made it very different from what I had originally acted. But every time I turned to her and I said, do you understand? And Crystal, Allison on the show, so Crystal, kind of like you with the big puppy dog eyes and the sort of thing. And, and it annoyed the ever-living fool out of me. I was like, no, say it. Don't just, you know, and it was, and it, so it came from a place of, and that's one of the questions people kept asking on Twitter today and said that's what they wanted to know is who is your favorite to work with? JR and Crystal I worked the most with. So, and I won't pick favorites, Crystal. JR. Okay. I won't pick favorites, but I will say that both of them, act that way. They both create that reality, that other world is the way I like to think about it. And so they participate in that. So we feed off of each other in that. That moment becomes very alive and very real. And at the end of a take or at a cut, one of them will say, oh, that was good. Then, okay, so right. Don't forget. Yeah, look at me like that again. And then it becomes something new that next moment. So it's really, that's where that comes from. So in answering your, I know that's a long answer to your question. So you didn't know having me on that it's going to be like this.
That was great.
It was good.
I mean, one more question before we dive into the episode further. I mean, so what is your relationship, you know, with Allison? I feel like when we got to see it on the show, you were definitely really hard on her. So now that we're getting to see you come back, hopefully we can see your relation develop through, you know, that little voice in your head that, which I think every girl has their mother in their head.
Sure. So. I think so too. And I thank you for asking. So what is that relationship? What is that dynamic like? Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that's where I pull from my own real life, I guess. And that's my point is that with my own children, I may say it at breakfast. I may say it. I may say, eat it. Do it now. Get in the car or whatever. And so when I showed my kids that scene that everybody was like, they were like,
Not scary.
Yeah, no, like, you know, and they're
mom voice, yes. Actual mom voice.
That's what's really interesting. Again, one of the Twitter questions today that somebody definitely wanted me to answer is, are you like that, or where do you get the motivation to be like that? I'm a parent, you know. So, and that's just
sometimes
where it comes from.
You gotta
from.
Put your foot down.
Yes, exactly. So, but the motivation, and it changed because the script changed, and Victoria Argent evolved. Over the seasons. And so in seeing that, and seeing that change, I had to make decisions as an actor. Well, what's that about? Why? What would drive me to do this thing with her or say this way? And the importance of giving her information and making sure she's not being willy-nilly about it or driven by her emotions because it's life or death. Mm-hmm. And the significance of that, and the importance of preparing this young lady. And in my head as an actor, and this is all backstory, or this is all the history that mm-hmm. I developed was, so whether it's part of Jeff's writing or whether it's in line with that or not, and I hope that it is. Apparently it seems to be working mm-hmm. For folks, but that it is the, I did not want her to go into this life. That had been so challenging for me that I did not want her to have this same experience, that there must have been something else. And Beacon Hills was a fresh start for us, and there were wolves there and werewolves there, but we could do something different. And so to protect her to some extent, but then when it hit us full force, therefore, I didn't have time to, I mean, I just had to hop on it. So that was the sort of the choice I made as an actor to get me to that place.
Right. So it's in loving and protecting her that you're
yes.
necessary. I mean,
yes.
that's how I see it, but I know a lot of people are seeing, like, the distance between the mother and daughter, when right. really it's just like, you know, you didn't have enough time to really prepare her. And so
it's
we're
like
getting you to come
the
back.
Fences, and you just have to go for it on every angle. It's a defense mechanism.
And I think it's also one of the reversals that we see. We're so used to women being, society tells us, well, women yeah. are supposed to be like this and supposed to look like this. And I got news for you. Don't look like that in my house, okay? And so it's, you know, a single mom, three kids, but it's, you know, you just step up. And that's Teen Wolf reversed that. It's not, you know, your typical mom and dad relationship or roles. The dad was always closer to the daughter in this particular show and more tender and kind of had that soft spot for his daddy's little girl. And, you know, and I had a history for that, too. We'd lost other children. We, you know, all this stuff that I won't go into here because we have a timeline.
And you can see now with you being gone, Chris Argent has had to kind of take on your hardened demeanor yeah. on some mm-hmm. level. And I think that mm-hmm. that comes from a level of necessity.
See?
Like you were that, you had to be hard and protective for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Chris almost become more distant from Allison in the show. And I think that's because he's had to add on that responsibility as well. He can't just be like fuzzy nice or as close mm-hmm. to her because he has to do mm-hmm. everything that the two of you were doing together.
That's exactly right. That's a good point. So, gosh, you're more than just a beautiful face. Look at that. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
We all try. Yeah. So we see, you know, Chris Argent, he sacrificed himself, but it looked like he did have a plan because he had all those knives on him, unfortunately. Jennifer found all of them, but I still think that he has yet another plan up his sleeve. What do you guys think?
I mean, well, mm-hmm. besides all the knives that failed, obviously all the knives got taken, but Miss... I'm just going to call her Jay again because I get confused about her name with her, like, eight identities.
Julia, mm-hmm. Jennifer Durock,
blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but we did see leaving him off with the sonar or the radar button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a dog whistle.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But, I mean, that was left hanging, and I think that he's always had something up his sleeve, and maybe it didn't go exactly to plan.
Literally, in this case.
But mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to definitely see more of this, that it's going to attract something. Also, the situation they're in is I'm trying to phrase this right. We've got, like, a bug zapper that's just attracting all of the supernaturals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
there
it's
currents.
Levels.
Well, you're right. And that's mm-hmm. it's called currents for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. you've got
something
currents,
going on.
You've
mm-hmm.
got the sonar. You've
mm-hmm.
got mm-hmm. possible mm-hmm. fake deaths mm-hmm. happening. Like, all of these things are just, as they said, beacons. Beacons
right.
for calling the supernaturals. Mm-hmm. And
will
it
only be the good werewolves that come to the rescue? Or
no.
will it be the...
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It couldn't be. And I think that's part of it as mm-hmm. as a plot device as well, that he wouldn't just fall back on his knives or his weapons. And then he had to be resourceful, and that
right.
shows that yeah. side of him, but also enables the young people, the kids. And
right.
the show really is driven by them and about them.
I like how we got that little powwow with the three, like, single parents. and they're talking about to Mr. Stilinski about how, you know, he's just now finally believing all the secrets about the town, and of course Scott's mom is letting him know, and then Chris finds out, and we get that backstory of what happened to Stiles' mother, and that, you know, Mr. Stilinski wasn't there because he was staying with a victim, you know, that had just gone through a car crash. Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's when the victim said, if you want to be with her, go. And he didn't want to believe it.
I want to know who this victim is, by the way.
Goosebumps again.
But yeah. I want to know more about this victim.
But I was glad that we got that because we never really knew what happened to her. So, mm-hmm. But he said, you know, I could have believed it sooner. I did have these thoughts. I wasn't ready to believe it. So it's nice that we kind of have that and him going through the process with them. And, I mean, how much time have they really gotten the chance to sit together and talk about it? So I'm glad that we have, you know, the three
everybody
parents.
Come to the table. Like, see, it's like their own little AfterBuzz TV show. You know what I mean? And it was very much like that. And one of the things that I think is best accomplished in that moment, and not only hearing about Stiles' mom and hearing that history, but for me personally anyway, and that gets back to what you were saying about the show, young people can relate to this, and it's what young people go through. Well, I think, frankly, us older folks relate to it too.
Us parents.
Okay. We can, those of us that have boots your age, can certainly relate to those elements that we saw as well. And that feeling of, oh, if only I had more regrets along those lines. So it's what draws, maybe it's multi-generational is maybe the way to put it about this show. People are misled by the word teen in the title.
Yeah I agree with that.
I always tell
them. I think there was also an interesting twist put on this powwow, you could say, when Duroc came down and told him, like, he's making a sacrifice, this is good for his children. But we got the slight twist with Scott's mom, but she was like, well, maybe not all of your children will be safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
putting that seed in the pot, that Stiles' father and Allison's father could actually be helping their kids. And the only one who's really going to be directly suffering is Scott's mom. So putting that, you know, stirring the pot a little, making it a little interesting. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a
well, but at the nice same time, place. Making it more clear. If I can interject, is because her when she said the Argents have a code, and your code is to protect and to protect the innocent, and he says, and you're going to do that with, you know, with killing innocent people, and she says, no, there's sacrifices. No evil person. This gets back to your question earlier. No person that's evil or bad or that we see ever thinks they're evil. They always have a justification. And if you, as an actor, and that's the role you're given, think that, okay, well, I'm just an evil person, and then you'll be very flat and two-dimensional. Yep. But if there's a real reason why you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, and it's out of what you believe will achieve good ends, then that gives it a depth that's really, really interesting to watch, I think.
I mean, once we got Jennifer's backstory, I have to say, like, I'm not completely, like, I don't hate her as much, you know? Like, and I didn't want to believe that she was the Duroc.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people felt that way. So I'm not sure if, you know, this season end is going to be the end of the Duroc, or if they can somehow, you know, change the path of the Dark Druid to, you know,
one
the
of
good,
light.
You know, one
in
of
nature.
Light.
Well, and that's part of what left us hanging, and that this particular episode said to be continued was really fascinating. You know, it's like, you know, so what will be revealed as they are they recalling? Are they having this magical experience that taps them with their parents through these, you know, icons that they have in their hands? Mm-hmm. So it should be interesting to see. So especially with Allison, so she held a silver bullet, and you know, as we were told, Argent means silver, etc. But that it's not silver bullets that kill; it's the family with the name Silver that kills werewolves, and that, which I loved the explanation of that and the explanation of the code.
So the fact that it was an intro basically into being a hunter, which is totally different than when you left her. It's her stepping up into the family role that you might have tried to protect her from.
All I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So then Stiles, you know, gets that text that, you know, Allison's dad's been taken, and he just goes into a panic attack because he knows that now, you know, that she has the three, and, you know, this is bad because she can complete the sacrifice. And then we have Lydia, you know, going in. This was my favorite part of the episode. I don't know about you guys, but we've been waiting for it for so long, that epic kiss. And, you know, I'm not sure if this was, you know, her healing, some kind of power she has to just do by instinct, you know, what she feels was right, because she always would come upon the dead bodies and not know how they got there. But it looked to me that she, like, kind of enjoyed the kiss. How did you guys feel about this moment?
I love that the whole time she's saying, Kristen's saying all this, she's talking directly to you. She's like, okay, let's powwow, because I look at all this and I'm like, oh, it's like we're watching the kids kiss. I'm like, oh, I do not want to think of
Are you
of
saying
Dylan
you were grossed out by
no,
the kiss?
Not totally grossed. And it was beautifully done and beautifully shot. And you mentioned the music. And I will say, I call it a smash cut, but that clash between, there's a difference between a score and a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And so there's this great dramatic score. And then as she kisses him and the sun is hitting them and the soundtrack begins. So that song begins, and we got to Google in a second. I should
yeah,
remember the name.
Stephen, help. Right.
Yeah, Stephen. Google.
All you
got to
Google,
yes,
is Lydia's Styles,
kiss
and Styles.
Music.
Just put that, yes, video up.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So but again, the way they were lit, mm-hmm, all those elements that folks might not realize contributed to that moment. If she'd just been standing in the hallway, right, and laid one on him, it wouldn't have been so great, you know. But it's the power of all of those elements.
And what those elements said to me was the fact that this was emotional, not supernatural.
Nothing
not
to do with her power
this
of instinct.
This was a emotional connection. Mm-hmm. They've been friends, they've been growing closer, and she felt something more. And I thought it was really interesting how, because we have been waiting for this, we've been thinking it's going to happen in a way. Mm-hmm. And the fact the fact that they made her initiate,
mm-hmm,
I think was great, because we've always seen Styles be the lovesick puppy dog. Or
that
at least
is
was
a great
in the beginning,
point, Sarah.
And that we see the flip, and it's the girl, and she's the one who.
Then it must really mean something. Mm-hmm. Then, mm-hmm,
and
right,
she's like, she started out as the popular one, mm-hmm, and he started, mm-hmm, out as not having much going for him, and, mm-hmm, she initiated the kiss, mm-hmm, in a time where he was in need.
Mm-hmm. So was it clinical? Was it medical? What, you know, so that's the one aspect of it. Or, mm-hmm, was it supernatural? Or was it that she really wanted to kiss
was
him?
Was it real?
Yeah. And, mm-hmm, so, and I guess it depends on what you ship.
You know? I personally
you do.
Think
you're totally,
I am totally for the fact that she wanted to kiss him. And then once she did she kind of was like, oh,
So you
I can't believe
Stadia.
I did that.
Huh.
Okay.
I think that she, mm-hmm, had the instinct to help him right away, and they were definitely very close. And then I think she was actually shocked by how she felt during and after the
and
kiss.
And covered it up with a big fat line. Oh, I read that
somewhere.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she did, but
I'm going to use that. Totally make out with
and
people.
And be like, oh, sorry, I thought I was.
I was helping
hiccups.
You hold your breath.
Hiccups, it's a thing. Yes, sorry. Was I giving you mouth to mouth again? Sorry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
Just don't do it to strangers. It's the band.
I mean, depends. Depends, right?
Oh,
depends.
Awesome. What do you define as stranger?
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're in the grocery store together, you're already kind of knowing each other.
Yeah.
Same area.
That crosses the line.
Okay.
Just keep an eye on it.
Okay.
So then they, you know, go to Miss Morell's office, and they were trying to discover.
Awesome scene. Hilarious.
Yeah, I love the fan, yes, right, uh-huh, who gets to continue to appear. She won that, uh-huh, contest, uh-huh, and she gets, uh-huh, to continuously appear.
And she is so funny.
She's, uh-huh, so funny. Uh-huh. I think people want her to just be, like, a permanent student at, uh-huh, the school and continue her role.
And continue to, but in those little, like, she's just brings a spice that,
yeah,
is such a joy. You know, like when she slapped him or dunked him in the pool and like, yeah, he's sober now. You know, like those sort of moments are really nice. And it's, but yeah, when she said, oh, yeah, you take the appointment. You need more.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That was my favorite line. She's like,
yeah,
you have more issues than I do.
All the trees. And you really felt that way, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, oof. Yeah, and that's it. She speaks for us. That,
exactly.
You know, we were thinking that. And then, so, and I think that especially a show that is, whew, got so much going on. We need that person to sort of ground us again. And in the humor of it,
exactly.
It's funny. It was one of the first things I ever said. Jeff Davis and I were riding to lunch. I think it was probably 2:30 in the morning. And we were on the van together. And I think I had, you know, made a comment about the humor. And he said, from reading the script, he said, most people missed that. They just, and it is, it's funny, funny, funny. And Styles is, of course, Dylan is remarkably funny and brings, mm-hmm, all that talent. But and how wonderful that the writers, all of them, are able to draw that out of him and that he contributes that as well. But it's there innately anyway, as we saw in that particular scene. And that's what made that juxtaposition of the violence and the intensity with the humor and the absurdity, because that's how we do in life. And that's to be, that's classic sci-fi, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
not a lot of shows can do it either. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite parts about Teen Wolf that a lot of people bring up is how intense it is. That's and then we'll like stop for a minute and it'll be really funny and mm-hmm. we'll be laughing and crying at the same time. And that's mm-hmm. great, because how many times do you catch yourself doing that
that's
in real life?
Exactly what happens. That's exactly right.
So, oh, is this the epic kiss?
Do we have a song?
Okay. Oh, he's playing the
song. Okay, now we're going to bring in Styles and Lydia.
No, let me back up, because we're just the kids. We're not going to do it. It is that kind of show, but my breath is bad, so I'm not.
But otherwise, we would totally kiss each other.
That's what the song passes now.
Good. And soon, and that's.
Do we have a name of the song, Steven?
We don't know.
The song is named Start of Time by Gabrielle Aplin.
There we go.
The Start of Time by Gabrielle Aplin.
A.K.A. your new makeup music.
Look it up on iTunes.
Awesome.
That's right.
Where this
Steven
will be, too. Yes, good job, Steven.
So we get that, you know, Lydia, Sarah kind of predicted it, that, you know, all along this tree would be, you know, the key to everything, that we constantly saw her drawing and
when
putting in our mind.
When did you predict that? I missed that
she
when
said
I
that pretty early. Sarah did. She's so smart.
Look at her. She's like, look, don't break your arm. Pat yourself there.
It just got really big.
You know what? That's so like Styles. Like that one episode, he's like, wait a second. I think I called that when he was talking about Matt.
She's been compared to Styles just about by everyone who has come in.
Really?
So Sarah and Styles ship.
People trying to tell me I'm a nerd or something. I know that. I'll take it, actually.
Yeah,
I love Styles.
Exactly.
So it's not that it's the tree. It's the upside down of the roots. And I found that really interesting. So did the tree ever grow out of the ground? Or was it just always like, you know?
I'm pretty sure it has to grow out of the ground.
Yeah, but
I'm not revealing anything. But it's Teen Wolf, and anything can happen.
Yeah,
the whole world
can
be upside down.
Yeah, is it upside down? Is it reversed?
That manifests itself.
I think someone chopped the tree down, and it created bad juju.
See, and there I thought you were going to be out. Look, you are just another pretty face. But it's got a name. I can't remember the name.
The nematon.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, you'd think I wasn't on the show or something. Yes, the nematon. Thank you. So
I think that the nematon was chopped down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the roots continue to grow.
I'm
going to
sit over there with you because I don't like this anymore. This is an honor, so to speak.
Yeah,
no, watch what you say.
Opinion.
We're talking about a Teen Wolf. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't know, but you know, it could have grown up, or it could always have just, you know, grown the opposite way. That's you
like
know,
a planter's wart. But that's disgusting. But yeah, no, truly. I mean, like, if it's a disease or if it's something that's not supposed to grow that way, you know, it grows into the ground. I'm seeing it's more
which I think is more interesting if it was never a tree. And if, yeah.
Yes,
okay. You guys can be on the same nematon team.
Give me, pass the
you can have the Altoids over there.
Thank you. Look,
you win the Altoids.
You're right about everything else. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No.
So, unfortunately, Derek's mom had erased the memory from Peter and both Derek's mind, so they still didn't know where it was.
Extremely inconvenient.
Very.
To pick that
or
memory.
Extremely convenient for the plot. Yeah, exactly. Right.
One
right,
of the two.
Right.
And we get that great scene when they finally find Morel, who they're hoping will know the location. She is being chased by the twins. And once Deucalion and Scott gets there, she kind of doesn't reveal much about the Duroc.
But you're forgetting. She does that cool thing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I want some of that in my purse.
Circle.
That was awesome. Right.
Perfect circle.
Yes, exactly.
I need that to ward off, like, people.
Right.
And I think...
Yes,
exactly. I don't want to talk then.
Yes, exactly. I have a big bubble. If you're in my arm, if you can touch me, that's what I tell my kids. If you can touch inside
too
my arm.
Too bad it doesn't deflect against spears.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
So, well, she hit... Her foot had stepped out. And so... Mm. And it's so interesting because so many times somebody will say to me, I don't get it. WTH. You know, I don't understand what happened. But, you know, well, I said, well, did you look down? Did you reach for the Altoids or something? Because if you did, you'll miss it. So don't, you know, you cannot.
No blinking.
Right. Yeah, no blinking. No. Well, especially in 304 when I go, but. And then if you blink, you missed me altogether.
But she reveals to his entire Alpha Pack that Deucalion was the one who killed Ennis. And you can kind of see the look on all their faces that they're shocked by this. And, you know, Scott immediately, you know, guards her, won't let them hurt her, and immediately switches sides. And I think that his pack is feeling the same way. What did you think,
and
Sarah?
I think you could even see that in the fact that the other PAC members, Deucalion's PAC members, listened to Scott say stop. They didn't wait to see what if Deucalion agreed with Scott stopping them from killing Morrell. Like, they just listened without question.
Right.
And that little hiccup is the fact that they are taking his opinion without going to their leader first
is
interesting.
It's very telling. And if what Deucalion's trying to do is create, and that's a lot of what 311 was about. I think this particular episode was about identifying the purpose. So, what is the purpose for, you know, what is the Argent's code and purpose in life? And that was or at least said very, very concisely. What is Deucalion's purpose? Well, to create the perfect pack,
and to trample every single thing in his path
if he has to.
Any creature,
anything that would get any living creature that would get in his way of that end goal, but that he did. Obviously did not see or does not see Derek as part of that perfect pack, which is why he's been orchestrating what he has. He wants Scott to be the perfect alpha. So it's interesting.
And we're seeing, obviously, like he has this mastermind plan involving Scott and Derek and taking maybe one of them, leading the other one to his
And who
pack.
Does that remind you of? Who's that remind you of?
I don't know.
Not me.
I
mean, not me.
It
no,
be?
It's like Grandpa.
Who other likes
Grandpa?
I think you took a little bit of a line from Grandpa over there.
Look, it's very much like what Grandpa did. Let me play these two off of each other so that I can achieve my own ends. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of that, and I think that that's very interesting.
But I mean, with what Derek did in this episode, whatever Deucalion's plan might be, I think it's going to hit a huge snag, because part of Deucalion's plan did rely on Derek as an alpha fighting off members of his pack during the next moon. And however he planned that to tie into Scott is his own mind. But now with Derek trying to save Cora and maybe giving up his alpha, like, what role does he now play in that plan? Because does the agreement still exist if he's a beta or an omega or whatever he turns into? Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and talk about that. Now, how did you guys feel about when Isaac was kind of yelling at Derek and, you know, saying, you know, you were sleeping with the enemy, you weren't helping, why did you even do all this, are you lonely? Like, did you feel...
And what was his answer? Do you remember? It was a trick. He said yes. I'll just go ahead and get...
Yeah.
He said,
no.
He said yes. Yeah.
And
he
that
said
was
yes.
Great.
He was long. Yeah. Oh. And isn't that where we all
so
go,
humble.
Oh.
But his sister is dying in that moment. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, are you going to make him come help save everyone's parents or his own sister? I mean, you got to go blood for blood. So in that moment, I wasn't, you know, incredibly mad at him. He hasn't been helpful a lot this season.
But doesn't that remind you of Stilinski? So here's Sheriff Stilinski. Same sort of thing. Let me stay with this dying girl and not go where I could possibly be more in need. So is there that parallel as well? And so should he be staying there being inactive, or would Cora understand? What would we want if, you know, in thinking about all those different positions?
And I think what we saw from Derek, though, is he is gaining more of a sense of honor and loyalty. He did make her a promise, although he has his obligations to his pack. He's sticking to his word, which I think is powerful, and he's sticking to his family. And despite the fact that they were arguing, or Isaac was yelling, I thought that they were both really accurate and true. Like, I thought that the anger in Isaac was justified, but it didn't feel like bitter. It just felt like sad anger.
Well, because his family, Scott, Allison, these people that had taken him in as his family, because his own family was so diseased, that this is his family. So you're not going to help me save my own family? We know your sister's going to die. Sorry, Cora. See ya. Bye. Come on. Help me go do this thing.
And Peter was, of course, saying, you know, this is just him switching sides.
Don't even start
with
me. And
then Peter started.
Let's go down the Peter path. Hey, Peter lovers. Want to give me a call? Let's talk, shall we?
Yeah. Stephen, go ahead and take calls. But so Peter says to Derek, this kind of reminded me of the Paige situation, how he kind of manipulated him into this whole story, how he can save Cora, but, you know, he's not going to be an alpha anymore. And this
Could
clearly
be.
Peter has
Peter
an
is
agenda.
Just so confusing to me because, like, every time I think he's lying or I'm wondering what he's
We have a caller on the line.
Oh, good. Okay. And you have to say your name and you have to tell me if you tweet me and if you think I like you or not.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Florida.
Hi, Josh. How are you? Do you have a call for Edie?
Yes.
Are you brave enough? Are you brave enough, Josh? Let me. In all seriousness, though, do you tweet?
Yeah. Well, not really. Honestly, no. I don't really tweet.
Okay.
Or Facebook.
Facebook. What is that thing? I think I've heard about that. Okay. Anyway. So. All right. So. Sorry, Josh. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just curious.
Go ahead with your question, Josh.
Oh. I just wanted to know. For your character, Edie. You know, Victoria. You know, you already know a lot of fans always ask you, oh, how can Allison be so sad for her mom when her mom's, you know, can be such a mean individual?
And I was wondering how you're going to put that. Nicely saved, Josh.
I'm sorry. And I just wanted to know from your perspective, because, you know, there's always two coins. I personally feel like Victoria is just, she has to be that tough, you know, she has to be that tough person, that tough individual, because with the family that she, I'm guessing, you know, became a part of, because the Argents, you know, I'm guessing they got married, and then that's how she got the Argent name. She had to maybe change the way she viewed the world and viewed life so she could live in that type of family.
Josh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
and meeting Gerard.
I want to interject first before you go on, only because I'll forget the first part of what you've said. The in that relationship, so much of the fanfic. So I love to be on Tumblr, and it's just my name on Tumblr. I'm not anonymous, and Twitter and Instagram and all this thing. And I love that feedback with the fans. And people have mentioned to me, Josh, what you've talked about, and that relationship. But what I find particularly interesting is that some of the fans say, you know, she's such a what did he say?
Mean.
Yes, yeah, she's so mean. And yes, and that was good. That was well said. But did I marry into that family? And how did? And when I say I mean I, Victoria. How did I get to that place? But for me, Edie, the actor, the decision I had made for Victoria is, just marrying into that wouldn't be as deep-rooted, that I had been personally affected by it beforehand. I made the decision that my sister had been murdered by a werewolf, and that my family also was part of the hunter, you know, that there are different clans of hunters. And so
you've always, in your mind, you always were kind of tied to that, and it was more of a hard-rooted center.
Absolutely. So that's always been there, but that Chris Argent and the Argent family was sort of the pinnacle of the hunters. And then, so it's almost like marrying royalty. I guess I saw myself like Princess Diana. So that's how I, of the hunters, thank you. And so that's how I saw it. But that's a good question, Josh, and, you know, and where that came from. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Josh. We really appreciate it. And you have to call back next week when Jeff's here as well.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
For sure.
Scary.
Thanks, Josh. Bye. Okay, so clearly Derek is putting, you know, his family over his need for power. Do you guys think he'll be changing his Facebook status to beta, assuming his loss of alpha power?
That is so cheesy. Did you write that? That is so... seriously, Kristen, that's it. Look, I'm single. I'm single because I hate her. She's so mean to me. Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead. You answer the Facebook question.
Do you guys agree that he should have done this, basically?
Oh, okay.
Don't answer the Facebook status question.
I kind of like it.
If someone had proposed to me that idea and it had been Peter, just out of principle of suspicion, I would have said no. But being that we saw a flash of color in his eyes change to blue at the very last frame,
which means it was a good idea. But which means that he's killed an innocent, that he's got that cold, steely blue. So it revealed something about him that I thought.
But we have a caller on the line, so let's get their opinion.
Oh, okay.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Nicole from New York.
Hi, Nicole. From New York. Where in New York are you from, real quick?
Long Island.
Oh, where in Long Island?
Suffolk County.
Oh, I grew up in Nassau, Port Washington, right outside the city. So, hi.
Did you have a question for Edie, Nicole?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. What one word would you use to describe Tyler Posey?
What one word would you use to describe Tyler Posey?
It's such a great question. Gee, I never get asked that. You would think by now I would have the one word down. He's so many different things to me, and he's just the most neat, wonderful kid. And his mom in particular, it's a long answer, Nicole, sorry. His mom, Cindy, she's done such a good job with her sons. And I tell Posey that all the time. I can't say Tyler because there are like 87 of them on the set now. But Tyler Posey in particular, I would say big hearted. He's just, that's a hyphenated word, so it still counts as one,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
He is. It's just all there. And that encompasses working hard and helping other people and always being at work with a smile and bringing that, everything you think he is on the show, he is in real life and then some. He's kinder and nicer and funnier and more fun. He's a neat dude. I like him.
That's a
good
nice
question, Nicole.
Compliment.
Is it?
Oh my gosh! Now, now he needs to come in so I can meet him. You're just
thanks
a
for calling
exactly.
in, Nicole. We really appreciate it. Okay, so guys, don't forget you can call in too. That's 424-256-1729. You can download, rate, and subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. And I want to read just two people's comments and some other people. I want to thank Natty Willie on Twitter. Juan Ballard, CM Maddell, Sni Katrina, Ray Fan, Already Claim, Sasu, Nick
what
Made Millions.
What are you reading? What is she saying? She's speaking in tongues or something.
It
what
is,
are you
right?
reading?
These are people's names on YouTube.
oh, from the YouTuber.
It's so hard, right?
Okay, right?
I sound terrible. I sound ridiculous.
And what's
but
funny
I do
is
this every week.
I can visualize some of them, but I can't. And I can picture the little icons. Yeah,
yeah. You guys don't make it easy for us.
Yeah, good job.
Two I want to read. Maven Cree. I'm saying the names that I can pronounce.
Okay, good.
He says, I think Derek is going to officially become part of Scott's pack. He was raised a werewolf. He knows to respect their traditions and history, so he'll give the proper respect to a true alpha. He already followed him now anyway. Derek makes a plan. Scott makes a plan. Derek does his plan. It falls apart, and they end up following Scott's plan anyway.
And if he loses his alpha, then he very easily could join Scott's pack.
Or he would have to join an alpha pack.
Yep.
And Joe Coolio says, hey, Kristen, can you please bring up the fact that Styles is like 16 years old, which would make Derek impossible to do until he's
awkward or
until he's at least 18 years old. It seems like no one ever brings that up.
Oh, please. It's sci-fi, okay? Does anybody bring up the fact that, like, here's Holland Lydia and that creepy moment when Peter opens the door and I was like, creepy uncle, don't touch me, you know? Yeah, so we go la 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 over some of that, and it's all imagination, the whole steric thing and that fantasy, and folks can go with that.
I mean, technically we don't know how old the twins are. It's said in there that they're not supposed to be in high school.
We did get that scene how...
We're left back like 5 years. Yeah.
We did get that steric scene where we see him punching Derek. Styles is punching Derek in the elevator.
Well, he's hitting him, and then he goes to really lay it on him. And then he grabs him. Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Good.
So,
good.
I mean, he was on top of him in the elevator. We got some love there. I don't know.
That's really interesting, huh?
And his girlfriend had just left him, so
Styles
is stepping in.
This is destroying so many other relationships. I don't know how I feel.
The fans get so mad when we don't talk about all the ships.
Oh, okay. And that's one of the things. So tell me when you're ready, because there were a few little...
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about the child sacrifices, and then we'll talk about Isaac and...
Do we have to say that they're child sacrifices?
I mean, children's...
Was Harris a child?
The offspring?
I don't know. How do you want me to say this?
Oh, see, okay. All right, well, and that, frankly, that is more specific, because Harris, the teacher who was killed, and, you know, or the guy that had the dog bullet, it wasn't necessarily a youth, necessarily. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'm specifically talking about Scott Styles, or no, I'm talking about, Scott and...
Scott Styles and Allison.
Yes.
And their ventures towards the...
Yes.
Well, okay.
The show is really going for the frozen bath moment.
I love it.
It's a reoccurring image. I mean,
it was cold, too, they
said.
Well,
I feel like there's something, you know, that's kind of Deaton's thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so we get that, if they do this.
Nature.
We only have a few minutes left in the episode, so I want to breeze through.
Are you kidding me? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
I want to breeze through this, so we have a few questions for you.
Fire and ice both bring out different sides of werewolves. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, so basically we get that if... no one says, no, I don't want to do this, even though there's going to be a permanent scar around their heart. And there's going to be this beacon coming to Beacon Hills, like, obviously future enemies coming for other seasons, which is cool. I want to see as a viewer, but I'm scared for them. And
prediction, I don't think they're going through with it. Just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and,
they're under. Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. And then...
We'll talk
Yeah,
later.
We don't see mm-hmm. We don't see if, you know, what happens. But also, you know, they are going to be dead and then come back. But we've got all these different things that will happen. Do you guys think this is a good idea? What's going to come of this?
I mean, I don't think they're going to go through with it, so because mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good idea, because I think their parents did what they did for a reason. And also, in this moment, I think a key part of this entire scene, like, even if, like, say they don't go through with it, the things that came out of the scene are still important. One, that they're willing to do it for their parents. Mm-hmm. Two, that a bunch was revealed about the relationships they have with each other. Through this, we saw that, like, they all became aware of the other people's personal lives. So now Allison and Scott and Isaac and Deaton are aware
See,
of the
now,
fact
there's a ship.
That
okay, sorry,
are, they're aware, though, that Lydia and Stiles have this bond. And now Scott is aware that Allison and Isaac have this
bond. The vet kind of set them up on a first date right in front of Scott. And do you guys think that these permanent scars forming around their heart will have something to do with their bond for each other, with who's bringing them back? Do you think they'll have a permanent link to each other? How do you think they'll feel about
it? I think that in real life, any large experience you have with someone links you to them for life.
Any near-death experience, but with each other and also with the people that put them under, per se. And I don't know how bound Scott was to Deaton, per se, you know. So I do think it was, well, here's who we have available.
He's
what are we going to do?
He's a father figure,
yeah.
I think.
But there's no reason that, you know, Isaac couldn't have put... Well, no, they both had to go under. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But I have to disagree with you respectfully here.
Altoid.
I'm just saying. No, you don't need one. I'm just saying, as a peace offering, and this is not based on anything that I've read or seen. I'm making no spoilers and no predictions, but absolutely, strictly off of watching 11, watching that episode, they're absolutely going to go through with it. They're already going through with it. And whatever, Walt Disney went with it. He's like frozen someplace in Florida
that's
or something.
Hilarious.
Right?
Yeah, when
and
we bring him back.
Right, that's exactly
Come on,
right.
Deaton.
Yes, exactly. But there's something about, remember that in the hotel, the Motel California episode, fire brought them out of that sort of trance place. And it's the same sort of thing. So ice puts people into a place where they can draw from that. So the fire and ice and that dichotomy.
Yes. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And so Stiles says to Scott to get him off of thinking about Isaac and Allison. He said, oh, by the way, your dad's in town.
Big reveal. So, huge reveal, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I was still kind of thinking that Deucalion, it was like the Star Wars Darth Vader, I'm your father kind of deal.
And then he's kissing his sister or something gross.
But
yeah.
No, so Scott's dad is the FBI agent, and he's like in Scott's room or something.
With the Tale of Two Cities.
Right. And what do you get from that? What do you get out of
God,
that?
My son can read all of a sudden. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I read A Tale of Two Cities, but it's been like 6 years or
Is his
like
dad
that?
In the picture now? Oh, because
I thought we were talking about A Tale of Two Cities.
We were trying, but they're wrapping me up. Okay. So is his dad now in the picture because, you know, the mom's going to be out of the picture?
No. Oh, I didn't think of that, so I just responded really
No, she can't. No.
This is a, like...
It's Teen Wolf. Anything can happen, all I'm saying.
And does this have anything to do...
I believe in happy endings.
Does this have anything to do with why Scott...
Good luck with that. Let me know how that works.
Does this have anything to do with why Scott is a true alpha? Was his dad a werewolf? Does it... I mean, I don't know. I mean, why is... I'm just looking for answers. Give me something, Sarah.
He kept a watch that his mother said was the only thing from their marriage that worked. Yeah. So we know that it was a marriage that ended under certain terms, but I think there's going to be a lot more there that'll give us depth about Scott.
Yes. I mean, I agree. I think that he's going to add more to Scott's character.
So
good job, Stephen.
And then...
We got so much from the parents, and I just wanted to ask you... few questions before we go, because we are just out of time.
Okay.
I always ask people what an aspect from their childhood that contributed to, you know, what they decided to do as a career. So is one aspect from your childhood that kind of led you into being an actress?
The very thing that every Teen Wolfie feels watching this show is what I felt as a child and was moved as a young person. And this thing... that I saw drew me in and took me to places, and I experienced things, and I knew ever since I was 10 years old that that's what I wanted to do, that I wanted to be part of creating that for other people.
That's great. She's always had the knack. She's always, you've always
I heard you had a magical theater in your basement growing up, right?
That is, that's totally true. And I did a lot of chorus line reprisals, and but it was the only time I could swear in front of my mother, so.
Would let you when you were performing
right,
for
her. Right, because there was that particular
funny.
Song.
It's, yes.
You know the song. Sing it for us. No, I'm kidding.
What's one of your best memories on Teen Wolf working on set?
That's really interesting. We shot, obviously, and that was one of the Twitter questions, so thank you for bringing that up. The scene where I, as Victoria, plunge a kitchen knife into my chest with the aid of my husband, that scene crystallized, it made compact for me the very essence of acting, that it's not me. It's not even JR, and it's not me and JR. Every single person on that set gave of themselves, from the grip, the electrician, the props person, the special effects, everybody gives of themselves so that we can create that world. And it's almost like, and it's funny, Kiahu and I talked about this, and I think he shares this idea, that the whole real world that we're all living in right now stops for just a second, and all these people give their energy to create this other world. And when that's possible, that is a magic. And that possibility is, you see, you're looking at
the camera. You get goosebumps a lot of
only when we're talking about this stuff. Teen Wolf is a powerful thing. And that's why I think it's so successful. But that was it. And that at the end of that scene and having that connection, and it was the first thing we shot that morning. And I remember the director, Tim Duncan, said, I can't believe we're doing this scene first thing in the morning. And it was a much better accent than that. But
I liked the accent.
Good. Did you? Okay, good. Good. But, and so I know that we finished in the scene, and they're pulling back the thing, and there was just utter silence, and nobody said cut, and we were done, but we just stayed in that moment, and finally the director said cut, Tim said cut, and the camera, it was like everybody came out of their trance, like, whoa, oh, God, whoa.
That's wonderful.
You know,
that's
so to do that in that moment was really something special.
Edie, thank you so much for being on
this
show tonight.
Me.
This was amazing.
Yeah,
hey guys, you can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or you can Bing my blog. My quick prediction is I think, you know, the Dark Druid has got to die, or they got to change her path. Sarah, where can we find you? What's your last prediction?
I will be starting up a new show soon. Actually, I'll let you wait on that. I'll leave you hanging.
Okay.
Any last prediction?
Last prediction's going on. I think it's Styles and Lydia. We're going to get some relationship status soon.
I like that.
I think you guys are too narrow with your predictions. You got to think Teen Wolf. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. So stay close and pay attention, because the details matter in this show, and they're fun. And it's going to be a lot more than what prediction you might think is happening.
Edie, what's your Twitter handle? Where can we find
it? It is straight up my name, EADDY Mays, MAYS. That's Twitter, that's Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, all those things. And I'll engage as much as possible. I love it. You guys are awesome. The fans are fantastic. Teen Wolfies are the best.
Thanks again for being here. And that's it for this week, guys. Tweet us your questions and we'll try to get to them. See you next week, and Jeff Davis will be here.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.